okay, Proposition. You were talking about this on quite a few podcasts ago.
You
seemed pretty positive about it.
Oh, I totally was. And the reason why I'm in was because when you see that some sort of like, almost like art house-ish Western comes out, generally, when I think of something like that, I think of Dead Man, which I disliked greatly. Mm-hmm. It really, that was a, when I watched Dead Man, it was a case of me being completely, I had a certain,
you had
certain
the wrong type of expectations.
And I had seen, I had seen,
Jarmusch stuff.
I had
before.
Seen a bunch of Jarmusch stuff, so I kind of knew what I was getting into, but at the same time, it just kind of like, when I was over, I just was like, man, you know, I feel like I'm a worse person now for some reason.
Wow, that's intense.
It really like took something out of me. And so maybe, I went into the Proposition knowing that it was going to, you know, I heard all the positive reviews, and I thought it was going to be kind of an artsy thing as well, though, and I was like, oh, so I kind of tempered my expectations, and it ended up being something that I was stunned by. It looked good. It was pretty.
Yeah,
And
pretty.
I thought it was very well directed. That guy, I guess, is doing some big thing next, the director. I can look it up.
I don't remember. Well, maybe later. Okay, so now... Warren Ellis was credited in that. I didn't catch it because the credits were so really small, and I was eating at the same time. So when I can't watch and eat stuff.
Oh man!
No. It was fine. It was just at the very beginning. But it said like Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. Maybe they were or Ellis did some kind of graphic novel for it before. But Nick Cave was credited for writing it.
Yes. The script.
Okay. My big problem with it is the it's needlessly ambiguous. I think. Like, we never get a sense of if, at least it's never entirely spelled out, if the Guy Ritchie character and his little brother who get caught in the shootout at the very beginning, if they're actually bad guys or if they're just bad by association.
Yeah.
Like, if it's their brother who's the crazy guy. And then we try to even build sympathy for the brother, kind of like he's just in the caves, kind of like not wanting civilization to encroach on him, kind of seeing eye for an eye, look at how, you know, the civilization has done these terrible things to the Aboriginal people. But at the same time, so it's like, at the scene where the brother's being flogged, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this. Should I feel like this is an injustice, or that this makes sense? Did the brother assist in raping and murdering that pregnant woman?
Yeah.
If he did, then I don't care. I don't feel bad for him.
That's the thing. I don't think that's you think that's needless ambiguity, because I think that's the sort of thing that if you make
I got that part of it, but I thought in the way the story was constructed, it wasn't just pure ambiguity. It was like somebody just didn't say anything to somebody else, and it was all there. And it was like, well, he's going to go take care of his other brother because he knows this is bad. And you got more pieces of it later, so I was pretty certain, in my mind, that Richie and the younger brother, Mikey or whatever, were not really bad guys. That they left the other two because they didn't like what they were getting into.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I started feeling sympathy. And then the guy from Sexy Beast was the,
yes.
was the captain.
Yeah, right.
He was interesting. I'm always pretty interested in this sort of... guy that represents, I don't know, the civilization coming to head with both the outlaws and the native peoples and all this other stuff. They had the generic guy in the fancy suit that was walking around telling everybody what to do, and just he was the bad guy pretty much. And I don't think he ever got what was coming to him, but that was kind of, I don't know, I didn't like that. And then Emily Watson was kind of interesting, just as the mother. Yeah, I didn't like her.
She was my least favorite part of it, but
it was interesting. The way the wife
was. Warren
Ellis,
by the way, did the music along with me.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought it might be something like that. I don't know why. What else? I had some good violence. I'll give you that. Like that one guy's head getting a shotgun blown up was crazy. But I had to admit that I came out of it disliking Irish people just a little bit more. Because the whole thing was, it was like,
more than
Irish.
You already did.
Yeah, well, I'm part Irish, so I guess, is it okay for me to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, let's call it a self.
Totally,
fine. So then, I hate those fucking men. God damn it. Oh, I was just, it wasn't even the older brother that was the psycho. It was the little brother that was teamed up with the older brother. I had no anything for that guy. I pretty much wanted that guy dead. I wanted him dead in, like, a really bad way.
Right. Are you talking about the sharpshooter guy?
No, I'm talking about maybe he's the one that shot the aborigine.
Yeah.
With, like, a shotgun or something. But no, he was just, like,
You're talking about the kid who was in jail the whole time.
No, I didn't care about... I felt some sympathy for him, because I felt like maybe it was the other one. It was the stupid one that, you know, was just a dirtbag.
Well, there was only three brothers.
No, there was four.
Really?
Yeah, there was four.
I didn't get that.
Well, maybe he... I think he was related to them.
The gang had no other brothers in it besides just them three. I remember them saying
Then there was the older guy, and then there was the other kid then. The other kid I thought was one of their brothers also. The one that he shoots first when he goes into the house. He goes into the house, and he's the one that's raping Emily Watson, and he just shoots him in the head.
Right, yeah.
While he's singing.
That was the sharpshooter guy.
Oh, so he wasn't one of their brothers?
No, no.
Well,
no.
Either way, it doesn't matter to me. He needed killing something awful. And
he did,
and he got it. So I guess
It says in the thing right here that guy's a different last name. His name is Samuel Stowe.
Well, I never got that sense though. I don't know why. Maybe it didn't matter. And then I never got any clue into the psychoses of the main bad guy. And so maybe that was also needless ambiguity, or just it didn't make it interesting. It had some neat cinematography, and there was a couple of moments where it was like Richie was reluctant to kill his brother, and you could get a sense of that slightly, but I don't know. I guess I just felt like, what was the movie's point? And in the end, it seemed kind of a little too needlessly aimless. So I don't know, I felt like it was almost more pretentious than Dead Man. And then after that, I don't know, I enjoyed Jim Jarmusch movies. I don't know why, because I probably wouldn't. But most of the ones I've sat and watched, I've actually really got a kick out of. The subtle bits of humor that are in them.
Yeah.
I've seen Jarmusch get interviewed, on IFC, and he's got, a great sense of humor. He seems like he's a pretty funny, he's a hipster type, but he seems like he doesn't take things terribly seriously, and I don't know. So I don't have any, I'm not hating on him. So I enjoy Dead Man better than Proposition. I wonder if watching Proposition the second time would
I don't know. You know, I didn't even once worry about what the point of the movie was. If I watched it again, I could probably get something out of it like that. But I thought it was so well made, and it just did everything that a Western asks you to do, and it was very disturbing with the creepy soundtrack going along with how just barren the landscape was, and how a complete lack of hope on the part of everyone except for the Emily Watson character who's trying her very best to try to make something normal and home-like.
Well, the captain had some too. He's like, I'm gonna civilize.
Yeah, a little bit, but he was. I mean, he was kind of depressed. He was down and out, and I thought they did a great job with the characterizations, especially with the captain, because you start the movie with him seeming like this is a bad guy because they just shot up their whole gang, and it's almost like in the film like that, the first people you see are almost like the protagonists, even if they're, child raping murderers, which they almost are in this case. and then this guy comes in and starts pistol whipping the retarded brother, and you think, well, this guy's, a complete, this guy's a bad guy, a bad person.
Yeah, he's a bad cop.
Exactly. And then it's kind of slowly revealed that he is just doing his absolute best to try to make some sort of sense and order of this world that he's been pushed into, which is so depressing and barren, and the landscape represents the whole thing, and how they've kind of just been pushed onto this, I thought it had a great kind of mirror thing to the whole, the American South thing. Generally in Westerns, they're set late enough that the slavery thing isn't usually an issue anymore, but there's still so few black characters, and they're still second citizens, unless it's some sort of revisionist thing, what was that one with the Mario Van Peebles one? I never saw it.
Posse?
Yeah.
I never saw it either.
A great deal of black characters, and I think in Unforgiven also was
we'll get to that in a second, because I just recently watched that, and that's our main story.
But I don't know, I just think with the Proposition, a combination of all those things, I just thought it was just an expertly made, very well written, which I was really surprised. I always think that when someone crosses over from something like music to writing or vice versa, I always think, this is going to be crap. And I'm usually pleasantly surprised because people don't do this, so they don't know what they're doing, basically, for the most part. So. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I guess I see all your points, and they're fair points. It just wasn't enough for me. I think maybe I'm identifying more with those authoritative characters in these sort of postmodern Westerns.
Yeah.
And so I felt kind of like ripped off by the lack of activity on the part of the captain, for what it's worth. And then every other character, which is the only character, there was a couple that I didn't like, and then there was just that generic authoritative figure that was over the captain, who is, of course, the guy that's all prim and proper, with his mustache and his stalwart face, his stone-cold face. being like, well, we need to do this and we need to do that, and not really knowing like what's going on, and then a couple of other jerks on both sides, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
And it just, I would have liked it to be a little more cut and dry, and a little less, like I said, needlessly ambiguous, or just more straightforwardly ambiguous. So I wasn't constantly going, wait, did I miss something? Because that was what I felt like. I felt more, I didn't feel like they didn't say something, they left something unsaid. I felt more like, okay, is the captain just bad? Does he not understand, like, these guys are actually criminals, and so he should have just kept both of them, and then done the work to go out and find the other guy? Or does he understand that he just captured them for the sake of doing what he needed to do? And then, like I said again, the main psychotic bad guy, just, we didn't get enough about him except just a few little stupid phrases that fit this whole, like, I'm an insane Irishman kind of thing.
I kind of like when they do that, though. I kind of like when the person that you hear about, like, you know, we need you to get this person, and then I've always liked the thing where a character doesn't show up till, I mean, in this one you see him a lot more often.
Yeah, no, I was going to compare it a little to Apocalypse Now, which I think is maybe Marlon Brando, but even then, there was enough in his crazy ramblings to get a sense of how he'd go, and the whole time, you know, Sheen is going over the dossier on him while he's on the boat, and he gets those voiceovers describing kind of how he slipped into this. There was nothing like that for the other guy. There was nothing in the way of some kind of, did he progress to this? Was he a former soldier for the captain? You know, there was something, nothing to hold on to really attach any, but it all felt just kind
of... Why can't he just be,
like it was thrown up there, and then you were like, okay, and then...
Why can't he just be a psychopath?
He can be, but I want some kind of understanding.
So how about this? What if they had the department psychologist from Lethal Weapon there to explain to the
that
captain...
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
He's got this certain side of psychosis, so you just need to, you know...
While the captain's breaking out of a straitjacket.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what I liked about that fan. Maybe I just liked it more. I guess I liked the three guys that were hired to hunt him. Yeah. I got a kick. There was some comedy for me in that. John Hurt was in both movies.
Yes, yeah.
And that kind of pissed me off because... John Hurt was awesome in the Proposition.
He was.
Like Bounty
was
Hunter.
Fantastic.
But he had like maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. And then John Hurt was in Dead Man and as like the second of this Steelworks or whatever. And he had almost nothing in that too. It was like two bit parts for John Hurt, which was kind of funny. Robert Mitchum was funny as all hell with the shotgun. Just kind of, what are you doing there, huh? And, I don't know. I guess I just liked the story, because to me it felt like a story that hadn't been covered in a Western before, which is of like a salaryman, you know, an accountant, and then he goes to the end of the line, and you know, as far west as you pretty much can go, and then there's no work for him, and it's like, well, what does he do? And then as this sort of thing happens and progresses, I got a kick out. I got a kick out of the big redwood trees. You'll never see that in Westerns. You never see. So there were things in it that were like a Western, but then there were things that were a little bit different. And then like even the ocean, you almost never see the ocean in the Western.
Right.
And that you got to see the ocean at the end. And I thought it kind of made sense, you know, the whole concept of traveling from east to west as you get closer to the frontier of the unknown or whatever. But yeah, it was definitely all kinds of pretentious stuff in it too, but I don't know, you got a kick out of it. And then... Then to follow it up with Cannibal the Musical, which has Stan Brackage in it.
A screen triage there.
But I do, that's how I roll sometimes. But Stan Brackage is in Cannibal the Musical.
Right.
As the dad of one of the guys. And I'm watching it and I'm like, is that Stan Brackage? No fucking way. And then I pause the credits at the end and I'm like, that was Stan Brackage. That is weird.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, like, there's got to be a story there, I'm sure. I wonder if anyone's ever bothered to ask him in an interview about that, because that's funny. Maybe he was just teaching at Colorado, because I think that was one of their student projects. I mean, it was
University of
minutes.
Colorado teacher, according to...
Well, then there you go. Wikipedia. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but the, like a night or two before that, I got in on, and it was on in widescreen, so it was on, and it was on Turner Classic, so it was all okay. For the weirdest reason. Back to Dead Man. Dead Man had Robert Mitchum in it.
Yes.
It's like probably one of his last roles.
Yeah.
It was a Robert Mitchum night on TCM, And apparently Robert Mitchum does the narration for Tombstone. So I get in on maybe 15 minutes into Tombstone. Now, if anyone knows this, and it's like a non-argument as far as I'm concerned, there were two movies that were about the OK Corral and White Earth. One was called Tombstone, and one was called White Earth. One had Kurt Russell, and one had Kevin Costner. And basically, Tombstone is good. It's really good. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It's got Kurt Russell, who's always awesome. It's got Bill Paxton. It's got Sam Elliott. It's got Charlton Heston, Powers Booth, Michael Biehn, and even Val Kilmer's still pretty damn good as Doc Holliday in that. It's got six pretty awesome actor dudes in a western that's just pretty much hardcore through and through. Like at the end when he's just killing people and he's bringing down the record.
And directed by an '80s action movie stalwart too.
Oh really? I didn't recognize the name.
George P. Cosmatos.
That's right. They mentioned that he had done some other movies. Robert Osborne says something about it after.
And he actually, I think he kind of lost control of Tombstone.
He came in after somebody else dropped out. Right. I forget who dropped out.
But he didn't even end up finishing because I think Kurt Russell ended up having basically the old proverbial executive producers say with everything. He did a final cut. He cut out most of what they had shot would have filled up, they said, a 4.5 hour long.
I could see that because it certainly gets quick at the end. It's like a montage of people getting shot.
And he said that he cut out the main storyline. He cut out was his characters because he wanted everyone else to feel like they had been in the film, I guess. And it was friendly thing with everyone and so they cut out a lot of the White Earth stuff, basically.
But it still worked. I mean, you got enough of him, your perfect Western setup, which is the generic, reluctant, on the fringes of society type hero that then kind of has to make his choices and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome, like after his brother's dead and he walks out into the rain, and that's cool stuff. You gotta like it.